So I thought that was very good. It kind of encouraged me today, or the other day when I read it and downloaded it. Because, you know, sometimes it's not easy to walk alone. It's not easy to know that everybody hates you. So I also want to say one more thing here quick about determination. Everything I'm teaching, everything I'm talking about in this room over and over again, whether it's talking about, I mean, whatever I'm talking about, whatever subject it is, it has to do with God building the determination and sin to overcome the devil, to overcome the world, to overcome ourselves, to overcome everything so we can attain the goal, the prize, the destiny that God has for us. And I want to give you a little exhortation from the scripture regarding determination. You know, we have several movies, we have Christian movies, and we have several Christian movies about the life of King David. And one of those movies, the guy who plays the prophet Nathan in this particular movie, he says something very enlightening to David when they're burying Samuel. It's not really a line from the Bible, but the line really does capture and a very important aspect of God's dealing with us, those of us at least who are potential kings and priests, you know, in the coming age. And the line went like this. Nathan turns to David and says, God makes it hard to be a king. God makes it hard to be a king. And I believe this is true when it comes to making kings and priests of us. You know, many times God himself makes it hard for us to be kings. And the reason is very simple. One of the attributes we must have, not we should have, not we, you know, God would like us to have, one of the attributes we must have, and it has to be built into us through testing, is spiritual determination. Spiritual determination. One of the characteristics every overcomer, every king and priest that goes to the next age to rule and reign with Jesus must have is that spiritual determination. We got to be like a spiritual pit bull. All right, like a spiritual pit bull. Each one of us have a tenacity, a determination, which comes from God, which cannot be quenched and cannot be diluted by anything. Not relationships, not our own lusts, not goal, nothing. I want to give you a couple, just two scriptural examples of determination in the Old Testament. First was, they're both in 2 Kings. The first is in 2 Kings chapter 13, 14 through 19. This is Elijah. Elijah the prophet's about to die. And the king asks him one more favor to help him win the victory over this. I think it was Assyrians. Yeah, Assyrians. It says, now Elijah was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, take bows and arrows. And he took unto him a bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elijah put his hands upon the... And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. Okay. And he said, this is Elijah talking to the king. He says, take the arrows. And the king took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. You see how many times? He just said, smite upon the ground. And the king smote thrice and stayed. In other words, he took the arrows and he went, boom, 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 hit the ground three times and stayed. And the man of God, Elijah, was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. So if that king would have the determination that he should have had, he would get down on his knees and beat that ground over and over and over again. But Joash was in the same semi-passive state that most of God's people today live in. Okay, if he would have had the kind of determination God wanted him to have, he didn't get down and beat that ground over and over again. Wherever you turn, every minister you hear, you're being constantly told that believing in God and trusting in God, all these things, is enough to give you victory over the enemy. We're never told that having extreme determination is a vital part of achieving victory. And that's precisely why so many Christians live a defeated life. They're asking God to do the fighting for them. And God wants me to fight. God wants you to fight. Okay? He wants you to have the determination that it takes to totally overcome sin, self, and Satan. He will help us defeat the enemy. He will help. But people expect God to defeat your enemy for them. See, and you do that, you're going to live your whole Christian life in defeat, because that's not the plan, and God's not going to honor that. Yeah, that's what Satan wants. Okay? So there's a necessity for determination in overcoming the enemy. There's another account of Elijah, when Elijah's going to die, and Elijah takes his mantle, and that's in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 25. This is a little longer passage, but it's nice to read it. 2 Kings 2, 1 through 25. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets were there at Bethel. They came forth to Elisha, and said to him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he, that is Elisha, said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood in view afar off, and they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And this is not going to be a teaching tonight, so I'm not going to go into the meaning of the double portion ministry, okay, in the Old Testament. But just to say this, God has something akin to this at the end of the days for those who allow him to make them spiritually fit to receive it. He's not going to give a double portion ministry to spiritual babies. Never. Okay? They'll never receive it. Those who are fit and prepared will receive it. But in order, like Elisha, in order to get it, he had a kind of determination that it took to get it. Three different times, Elijah told Elisha to stay at three different places that they had arrived at on their journey towards the Jordan River. Now, Elijah was God's prophet. Elijah was the voice of God. When he told Elijah to stay at these places, that was God telling Elijah to stay. Okay? But Elijah was so determined to stay with God's man. He was so determined to stay with God. He wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't listen. He said, I'm going with you no matter where you go. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing is going to stop me. So finally get to the river, and Elijah asked Elisha what he wants to do for him, and Elijah says he wants a double portion. Elijah says it's a hard thing. But if he can keep his eyes on Elijah, on the man of God, on God, when he's taken, he's going to have a desire. And God gave Elijah a test. This test came from God. This wasn't the devil persecuting him, okay? This wasn't our employees persecuting us, our friends persecuting us, our family. This is a test directly from God himself. It came from God to test Elijah to see what kind of determination Elisha had. So when it was time for Elijah to be taken up in a whirlwind, God sent a chariot of fire and horses of fire running right across this guy right in front of Elijah's eyes to see if he'd take his eyes off of Elijah to see that great supernatural event. And he wouldn't do it. He kept his eyes on Elijah. That supernatural manifestation, which would take most of our eyes off of it, I guarantee you, couldn't take his eyes off because he was determined. He had determination. He had tenacity that wanted that double portion ministry. He was after something from God that was God was willing to give him. Of course, it wasn't something evil. It wasn't something wrong. God was put in anything to seek that thing, and he gave himself to it 100%. That's the kind of determination we have to make our destiny, to make our calling sure, what God has for us. I just want to say that everywhere you turn, ministers who are baby Christians themselves or ministers who have been deceived by seducing spirits, they're using things like faith and trust and belief and rest to bring God's people into a semi-passive or totally passive state. And Satan's using their ignorance and he's using their doctrinal error to ensure that the people who listen to them and accept them will never, ever develop the kind of tenacity and the kind of determination that is absolutely necessary in order to gain total victory over the enemy and to be prepared to receive the double portion ministry and to go into the kingdom as a king and a priest and rule with Jesus. These ministers have no idea they're being used as tools of the enemy to siphon God's people off. They sincerely believe they are preaching and defending the truth. But just because they don't understand what's happening, that doesn't mean they aren't just as dangerous as Satan himself is, or that they aren't just as much an enemy of the truth as Satan himself is. Okay, good intentions doesn't cut it. A lot of people are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong, and they're sincerely doing damage to people. So anyone who's preaching and teaching things that leads God's people into a state of passivity or even semi-passivity, whether they realize it or not, it makes no difference. They are teaching and preaching things that are designed by Satan to defeat us and keep us from reaching the goal God has set before us. And when they do that, they make themselves an enemy of the truth, they make themselves an enemy of the kingdom, and they make themselves my enemy. They're my enemy. So I want to just exhort you guys to be careful who your friends are. Don't be friends with God's enemies. It doesn't matter that they don't realize they're God's enemies. It doesn't matter that they're deceived. It doesn't matter that they don't know what they're doing. If they're doing this, they're dangerous. They're just as dangerous as Satan. And the fact that they don't know what they're doing does not make one squat of difference. If we keep people as our friends who are preaching this stuff or propagating this stuff, we may end up one morning without realizing it that we have become an enemy of the truth and we have become an enemy of God. I have no friends that preach error. Sorry. I have no friends that preach the kind of error that leads God's people away from the goal, that leads God's people away from the call. I don't have any friends like that. And I have been friends with people in the past, and then they turned away from the truth, or they got deceived, and I am no longer their friend. They don't understand that. I have turned on them. I was their friend, and I turned on them. You know, I'm the bad guy. No, when you turn on the truth, when you become an enemy of the truth, you become my enemy. Because I'm the friend of truth. And that's the way it should be with every single person, whether you're a minister or not, whether you have any kind of ministry or not, whether it's just you and your wife, or you and your husband, or you and your children, doesn't matter. That's the way we should all be. Any friend of the truth is a friend of ours. Any enemy of the truth is our enemy. That's the way it is. That's the way it's got to be if you're going to make the call. Okay? Amen. I just want to share that with you guys tonight. I didn't want to go into anything deep, but determination is essential. It's not maybe. It's not what we should have. You don't have determination, you're not going to make it. You must have determination to fight the things you know are wrong and to go after the things you know are right, like Elijah did. So I thought I'd share that. Does anybody else now? Does anybody have anything to share or anything? Okay, yes, we got somebody. Here we got, Texas again. Go ahead.
It's a great sharing, Dan. And it was really one of the experiences we had this week where we experienced exactly what you're talking about. Shortknocker asked a question earlier, did anyone have anything they learned this week? And one of the things we learned is that not everyone wants to hear the truth. And not everyone wants to hear what God has to say, even if you open up your Bible and begin to share out of the Bible what God says about different situations. So I say amen to that we are in a place where even in this case, it was a family member, very close family member, and it really got down to the point to say, if God has nothing to say to you, I have nothing to say to you. And had to part fellowship at that very moment. So it was the type of thing that this is not something new, but it's been a situation that's happened time and time again. And no matter how you try to keep that situation from happening, if one person desires the truth and another person desires to walk in their own belief system, that regardless of the truth, there's no other solution to the problem other than compromise or parting. And unfortunately, in this case, it was a time of departing. And I was really hesitant to speak this, but God is putting it in our heart to stand for the truth, no matter what it costs. And it's a humbling thing. It's not one we walk in pride, because that's really the thing that we're always standing against in ourselves, and we're also standing it against it in those that we're wanting to minister to. So this particular situation, these people have not been in the system for 25, 30 years. So just coming, not being in the system does not mean you're walking in the truth. And I know, Dan, that you've been speaking to many of us that have come out, that God has a purpose to deliver us from the things we came out of. Just coming out of it doesn't deliver us from it. It's something that needs to be done by the Spirit in each individual. So we met that thing, and it's ugly, and it's bad, and it's painful. But if God is bringing us into a place of submission to Him, humility before Him, we're going to have to stand and allow God to be God in that situation. So this is a very, very, very timely message. So God bless you for it, and thank you for bringing it. It was really right on. Thanks.
Amen. Good. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate it. It is painful. I've gone through it many, many times. Well, good. Thanks for sharing, buddy. Appreciate it. Anybody else? All right. Well, what are we going to do, guys? I have one song in my heart. Should I sing a song while we're all leaving? Here's some exit music, all right? It's called Jesus is Testing His People.
Jesus is testing His people. Only the faithful stand. Oh yes, Jesus is testing His people. Oh, only the righteous enter in. The seed and the chaff fall together. The wheat and the tares both stand until the harvest comes. Enter in. Jesus is testing His people. Only the faithful stand. Oh yes, Jesus his people. Only the righteous enter in. Dark is the hour upon us, and dark is the hour we stand. But it was dark when Christ prayed in the garden. It's the darkness that tries every man. Jesus is testing his people. Only the faithful stand. Oh yes, Jesus is testing his people. Only the righteous enter in. Fall together, the wheat and the tares both stand until the harvest comes to divide them. Only the righteous enter in. His people, only the faithful stand. Oh yes, Jesus is testing his people. Only the righteous enter in. But it was dark when Christ prayed in the garden. It's the darkness that tries every man. Jesus is testing his people. Testing able. Only the righteous enter in. Jesus is testing his people. Only the faithful stand. Testing his people. Only the righteous enter in. Only the righteous enter.
Jesus is testing his people. He's testing us. We got to have tenacity. and determination. Not let anything turn us aside. Don't sell the call for anything. Not for money, not for relationships, not for glory, not for fellowship, nothing. Amen. All right, guys, so anybody else have anything? Last call before we close. All right, guys. We'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise. Keep pressing in.